These bandanas make it hurt. Welcome to the Breaking Down the Bytes podcast. Interested in the IT field and looking for a way to break in? Are you a college student or looking for a career change? The IT industry is booming and has tons of opportunity. It's vast, complex, and can be overwhelming, but we can help. Come along as we break down some of the barriers as your insider to the tech industry.
Hey everybody, welcome back to this week's edition of Breaking Down the Bytes. As usual, I'm your host, Pat. You can find me on Twitter at Layer8Packet. You can find the show on Twitter at Breaking Bytes Pod. And Kyle is with me this week. Alex is missing. He's got some of the stuff going on. But Kyle's with me. He's on Twitter as well. Danith256. You can find all of our socials in the show notes if you wish to follow us on your platform of choice. So, Kyle, what's up, man? How you doing?
Not too bad. Got a little cold snap coming through. I think it's snowing right now. So
is it?
Kind of exciting. Yeah.
Oh, I am in the dungeon, also known as my basement, and there is one tiny window that I can't really see what is going on out there. So it was pretty wet when I was taking the garbage out. So I don't know if it started to snow or got colder or what. But
basement's looking a little crazy. Like the darkness is about to sneak in and gobble you up.
I know. It's like that show, like one of the shows on the Travel Channel where like a ghost is taking over their home and it's just like this dark mass just comes and engulfs me. it's kind of cold here in PA. So we are in the winter months. We haven't had a whole lot of snow, actually no snow so far this winter, and we're midway through January. So I'm okay with that.
Yes,
I'm all right with that. Yeah, because I'm the one stuck shoveling it, so I'm okay with that. It's not a big deal. So, cool. We have a guest this week. First one of 2023 and the first one in a while, actually. Woo! So, we are
glad and appreciative of my man Javi coming to join us. Javi and I work together at our roles at Customers Bank. Javi is on the architect side, or I should say the enterprise solutions, Javi? Is that where you're at?
Cloud? It's technically enterprise solutions, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Architecture, whatever you
Everybody, welcome Javi to the show. Javi, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, man. Doing well. We work together, and I work for IT architecture. I would say currently, based on what's happening at the company, it isn't like it's more into like the heavy engineering / Office 365 / Azure generalist. So not at like, you know, coming soon or like the big projects like Azure Virtual Desktop and other things like that. But yeah, for now, you know, just do what I can to get by.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, Javi and I work close together, especially since I've taken on some of the cloud infrastructure projects and getting around and making sure things flow correctly and all this stuff. So what do you say, Javi? We've been working on that since, what, like mid-November-ish? Something like that.
Probably, so yeah, it seems like about a month and a half, 2 months or so.
Yeah. So which, you know, in Azure land could feel like a lifetime because of Azure's quirks and, you know, gremlins. But we digress, right? So, so Javi, why don't you kind of tell us where you start, where you've been, you know, that sort of thing, and kind of how'd you get to your position that you're in now?
Sure. So my story starts like a little weird because I was definitely just bartending out in Delaware and kind of didn't really like my job at all. So it definitely showed. And I think I showed up one day and got fired and I was like, sweet. Didn't really care. Cause I was like, I don't like this job.
Yeah. Go kick rocks. Yeah,
exactly. Serving it into this place called Mickey Moto's. I don't give a shit. But then I just kind of went on the internet, just like saw this ad on Craigslist and it was for a point of sale technician. And I was like, hey, I like computers and I've worked at restaurants most of my life. So I'm like, yeah, let's give this a shot and, you know, start working there. You know, I go in there the first day. I'm like, shit in my pants. I'm like, man, these guys are going to know that I don't know shit.
Right.
I don't know what I'm doing. It's going to be crazy. I get there, and this guy, Scott, is just like on a lap. You know, it's a POS repair place. We install the POS. Point of sales being, you know, restaurant computing systems. But this guy's just on a Windows XP machine, and he doesn't know how to reboot it. And I'm like, maybe it's going to be okay. You know, like it's might not be that bad. And then just kind of like kept working through there, got some networking knowledge, and ended up working there for like 7 years. Went from basically on-site technician to help desk technician to help desk manager. Redid their entire help desk from help desk manager. Then kind of that's when I realized that management really wasn't for me. So that's kind of requested a demotion to the project engineering side, because that seemed like it was the most fun. And it was basically set up clients with their point of sales from A to Z. So like, you know, going through their system, having a system design, like, hey, how do you want to deploy this? Like, what are you selling? Like just the whole scheme, and then give them suggestions, whatever. We would travel a bunch. I would go to Starbucks in Toronto because we had a contract with them. So I'd just go all over the States, just like, you know, solid point of sales and just mini vacations.
Nice.
And then from there is when I took the leap to this other place called GoTo. And that's where I first kind of got my first step into, like, you know, actual Azure, actual, you know, like, deploying full-blown firewalls, managed switches, VLANs, all that stuff, like getting to learn all those concepts. It was more like it was definitely super on-prem based, but we had some clients that wanted the first client we had was a law firm that wanted to deploy Azure hybrid. They wanted to move up their Windows Server 2003 up to Azure, and I knew absolutely nothing about it. So it was basically just like figuring out Azure, working out with our contacts on site at Microsoft and at Synnex, who were just like, yeah, we don't know. Good luck. So it was just, I got given basically like 2 months of just like, figure it out, bud. Here you go. We need this done by this date. And I was like, all right. And that's kind of like how I first got my step into cloud, just kind of researching YouTube, you know, like did cert research, just the whole nine yards, to finally get after, you know, a little bit of trial and error.
Yeah.
Got a finished product out there with, you know, firewall, few servers, migrated that server to 3 VM, just lots of mini nightmares, but ended up with a good knowledge base that I then jumped on to like go to Temple and then a customer's bank.
At the nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So long story short, or I should say the moral of that story is we all don't know what we're doing. We're all just winging it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be, don't be ashamed to jump right in, because, you know, you walk through the door and the guy doesn't know how to reboot his machine. You're like, oh, whew, I'm glad I landed here. Whoa, you know, this is going to be a breeze, you know, that kind of.
And that's say for every job, I was also just like, this is the one. This is where they're going to find me out. And so far, so good.
That's it. That's right. If you fake it till you make it. That's what you got to do.
Definitely.
That's what you got to do. I'm curious on what the cloud. And I think I think for a while the cloud was a niche playground for folks or for businesses that, you know, had a purpose for it, mainly, you know, big business, because they had the resources to throw behind it, money and, you know, all that sort of thing. And I think recently, within the last, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years, you'd say, cloud has become a lot more mainstream than it used to be. And so now I think it serves a purpose for everybody, regardless of size of company. You know, whether that's a small company for just, you know, throwing your backups up there, you know, replication, things of that nature, or it's, you know, for full blown companies that don't have an on-prem data center at all, you're just running out of the cloud. You know, I've seen those too. So, it does, you know, but I would say maybe Javi, you can kind of fill in the cracks here, but, would you say the most popular use for the cloud, and I have use in air quotes, would be from like a hybrid perspective, like you have an actual, you know, a company has an actual colo, you know, data center on-prem, and then using the cloud as an extension of their on-prem data center. I think that's the most popular at the moment until, you know, the cloud takes over everything in 10 years and there's no more data centers, right? Would you say that's accurate? It's more of a hybrid look at the moment?
I would say that's accurate because it's just too much of a time investment to basically get rid of your already existing AD with all those links into all your applications and groups and stuff. People, like companies, just don't want to make the effort to just move all that shit over to, you know, cloud only. So it's just, it's the easiest in between.
Yep. No, understood. Yeah. The other thing too about cloud, and I think I've said this before, the amount of scale that you can do with the cloud is just insanity to me. Like, case in point, we have some Cisco gear that is on order. And it's not just relative to Cisco. It's other places too. Some are better than others, but the shipping delays and the distribution of this stuff, the physical hardware, is just insanity these days with, you know, delays and, you know, the whole, you know, rebounding from COVID and countries shutting down and all this crazy stuff. You know, we ordered some Cisco gear back in 2021 and we still have not gotten it. And I think it's slated for February, but it's been pushed back 3 or 4 times. So we're slated to get it in February, but we'll see if that actually comes. But with the cloud, you don't necessarily have that. It's like, okay, you want a VM? Here, minutes, literally minutes. You can spin up something, throw it in the cloud, throw it in the VNet, throw it in the subnet, and you're good to go. Like, give it guts, boom, you're done. Previously, even if you ran VMware locally, like in the data center, you'd have to order it, the chassis and the HyperFlex and the HP servers, the Dell servers, whatever you were, you know, running your blades and all that kind of stuff. That's physical gear. Like, you had to wait for that, and you had to actually have, you know, somebody go in there, rack it, stack it, plug it in, and get the drive spinning and all this stuff. And then it took time to configure and, you know, getting into clusters and, you know, ESXi or ESX, whatever flavor you're using and all this stuff. And, you know, that would be weeks of a project. Like, I mean, you still have projects now that are in the cloud that can take a little bit of time, but you're not held up by the actual physical infrastructure anymore. You literally can have VMs spun up in minutes. And I think the scalability of that is just some crazy, crazy stuff. It's hard to wrap my head around how quick you can do some of this stuff.
Yeah. I think like lack of knowledge, kind of like we've experienced, is like the major hurdle of like not fully understanding something is the main impediment for not having something deployed, you know,
quicker. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So I always find that interesting of, you know, scaling. You could literally scale for till your heart's content and you're, you know, you're good to go. Yeah. So from a cloud perspective of, you know, sort of where Javi and I live, and Javi, you're more on this, I don't know, say sysadmin side, but I guess you kind of are, but it's a virtual, you're dealing with virtual stuff instead of, you know, traditional Microsoft role, right?
That's kind of what I was mentioning earlier, that it's more like once it gets, you know, we get the WAN up and all that other stuff, and like we get the domain stuff, the deploying Azure Virtual Desktop, deploying like all these different projects, it becomes more of like the engineering architecting side for now because we're kind of stalled out. Right. I am kind of on the, it's like slight engineering administrative side, conditional access policies, like the O365 side of the house.
Yep. Gotcha. That makes total sense. Do you find Azure AD any different than like regular AD? Like, I'm sure there's some nuance to it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a lot of differences. There's also just very strange things in regards to how Azure AD operates. Because like we've been trying to find a way to replicate essentially, because we have no automation on the cloud right now in terms of like groups. We have ServiceNow, but ServiceNow is not connected to our Azure AD. So I was dabbling with Power Automate to basically make a script essentially that would just look at a group, an AD group that exists on Azure AD, and then move you over to an Azure AD group which has a role assigned. Thing is, that doesn't work because that Azure AD, the module doesn't support transferring things to an Azure AD group with roles. And then the reason we're even doing that is because we're doing what's called Azure AD synchronization between Azure, the AD on-prem and Azure AD on the cloud, and you can't assign Azure AD roles to AD groups that are synchronized up, which is makes no sense.
That's kind of weird. Yeah.
Which makes no sense. But and then they don't support like their Power Automate tools, which is like we had a conversation with Microsoft. They're like, hey, do it this way. And we did it through Power Automate. The Power Automate modules don't support adding users to groups that have roles, role assignment enabled. And it's like, okay, cool. So I finally figured out a PowerShell script, and then we're going to do an Azure runbook to kind of automate that stuff to basically make it easier. So essentially, kind of like Samira today asked me, like, hey, I need to get into this networking group so I can add stuff into Azure. So in theory, what this script would do is she gets added to the – she's part of network architecture. She's
part of my team, right?
Yep, she would be in that group, that AD group, and then she would the script would run and be like, oh, because you're part of this group, you get dumped into this network Azure group that gives you all those roles, that way you don't have to like manually, you know, do or ask every single time.
Replicate twice. Yeah, that makes sense. Yep, that makes sense. Right. Speaking of Samira, she is on my team. She's newer too. She started in September, and she's great. She's awesome. She was actually a nurse before she became over to the IT side of the house. So like, you know, like you were the bartender and doing, you know, something other than, you know, right out of school IT. She was a nurse for a couple of years, and now she's a security engineer. So that's, it's a weird thing. Like how some people start in other realms and then find themselves in the IT space. I find that interesting of, you know, all walks of life. So hopefully some of them are listening to this podcast. You never know. So,
so Javi, do you find yourself having to do a lot of stuff in PowerShell to like fix little quirks or things that you can't just kind of get to work the way that you want it to?
In previous jobs, 100% here, because the title's technically just supposed to be more Azure focused. I'm not supposed to, but yes, 100%. Okay. I'm still pulling out PowerShell, good old trusty PowerShell, when some of like the, you know, the classier tools like Power Automate and other things just don't make the cut. PowerShell can just get it done.
Oh, nice. Okay.
There you go. That's awesome. I'm going right to Rob with this recording. I'm going to rat on you.
Like, he knows, man. He knows.
Been there, done that. I love it. The other thing about Azure that I find, and I was at my previous role, I was they were an AWS, and so the terminology is different, but the underpinning services are relatively similar, right? It just depends on, you know, what sandbox you're playing.
The same,
yeah. What sandbox you're playing in is what, you know, what terminology you're going to use. I find it interesting that AWS has the larger market share, but I do think Azure does have some quirks that you and I have been sort of, you know, tussling through for the last month, it seems, for some things. And I'm, you know, from a network perspective, it's the whole cloud game is, at least for me, is a complete like mind shift, because the more you get in the cloud, and again, this is going to depend on platform. So whether you're in Azure, AWS, GCP, I think Oracle has one, or Alibaba, there's a bunch of smaller players too, but like they abstract a lot of layers from you, which it's meant to be easier. But then when you're used to doing something a certain way for so long, it ends up being harder than what it is. And you're like, this cloud, man, I can't, you know, oh, it's almost like you're trying to, you know, stuff a square peg into a round hole, you know, sort of thing. So at least for me, from a network perspective, like, you know, in Azure, right, there is no layer two in Azure, right? It's all layer three overlays. So everything has an IP address. There's no VLANs. There's no switching, none of that. So I had to get used to that. And you have to kind of play, you have to think of it in a different term when you're trying to design something to get from A to B. Like, okay, since there's no layer two, how do you get there? How do you put that bandaid on there? How do you sort of redesign that to take the detour route? Right. So, so I feel myself kind of, you know, you learn every day, but you feel kind of At sometimes I feel downright dumb, to be honest with you. I'm going to come clean right here on this podcast. I just like sometimes in Azure, I just feel like I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what am I doing? I can't wrap my head around this. This is insanity. But no, I do feel like there is a lot of quirks and a lot of nuance that, now you're kind of shifting to the cloud world, which abstracts layers from the user end. And then you have to find ways to do things that you normally would do with physical gears. It's like, oh yeah, you do this, boom. With the cloud, it's a little different because you get less of the back end of things.
Yeah.
So I feel that's interesting.
For AWS, like you, I think you worked at your last company. Would you have run into the same issues you did like with Azure to kind of do what we're doing now in terms of, you know, deploying the Palos and everything, or does it work differently?
I don't really know. Because to be honest with you, when I got there, the AWS infrastructure was already there and I was basically just kind of maintaining it. Here we're kind of building it from green. So it's a different beast, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's a different mindset. I probably would run into some things differently. But like case in point, like in Azure, like if a subnet isn't being used anywhere, like I just can't delete the whole subnet. Like I got to go into the actual NICs and delete the NICs first. Like just like dumb nuances like that. I'm like, why can't I do that? Like the NICs aren't assigned anywhere. They're literally they're just sitting there. Why do I have to delete them first? And then go and delete the subnet, which has nothing in it. Why can't I just delete the whole subnet? Like, you know what I mean? So, like, nuances and quirks like that kind of drive me crazy. So I don't really know if that would be the same, like, in AWS, because when I got there, it was already sort of built. Palos were there. They had production traffic going on it. And I was just kind of, you know, tweaking rules and looking for different logs if somebody couldn't get somewhere. You know, that kind of thing. Like, it was a different beast, but I'd be interested to see if we could deploy from green in AWS and try to do this design and then, you know, see what kind of headaches we come up with. I would find that interesting.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tommy.
No, just I don't have enough. Like I'm basically kind of like all in on Azure for now. Long term, you know, definitely go maybe, you know, full cloud. But AWS definitely second. And then, probably, I think just Azure and AWS is probably enough.
Yeah.
For multi-cloud, you know, you're like, oh, GCP, for sure. Whatever, it's like, they're good.
Do you need three clouds? Probably not. You know, kind of thing. One's enough, two stretching it.
But I'm curious to see if it's like basically the same. I imagine that it is almost like the same infrastructure, just different phrasing, because I'm assuming there's no VLANs or anything in AWS as well, right?
Correct.
It's VNets-ish or whatever.
Yeah, they call them VPCs over in the AWS world, virtual private clouds.
Oh, that's gross. I don't like it.
That kind of thing. Like your gateways, they call it a transit gateway, right? So it's just different verbiage, but it's the same underlying, you know, service, I guess you would call it. So I'm interested. So, you know, because we, you know, in this show, we talk about a lot of, you know, sort of towards the beginner, but over the last couple of episodes, maybe half a year or so, we've turned into like just a general IT show, and we kind of showcase a bunch of different things. But the one thing we talk about on this show a lot is certifications and things of that nature. And I know you have an Azure cert or two. Why don't you kind of start there? What do you have? What kind of your thought process about getting that? And then if you have any plans for anything more.
Yeah. So I have the Azure 104, which is just the Azure Administrator Associate cert. I have the MS-700, which is the Teams, Microsoft Teams cert. For that one specifically, my company, my last company or two companies ago. We're just like, hey, we need this so we don't lose our silver certification with Microsoft. And I was like, free cert, I'll take it.
Yeah, heck yeah.
And I have a WatchGuard certification, just kind of like a shittier Palo, I guess. But the big one definitely was the Azure 104. I think that's kind of what springboarded my career kind of from when I was working at like for the MSP otherwise. And then I'm still Looking to get more certs, looking to get the Azure, I believe it is 304. I haven't studied that for that yet. I've just been studying Japanese instead.
Yeah.
I think that. The 305, yeah. Yeah, just 305.
305, all right.
Yeah.
So then that is the...
Azure Architect Expert.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
So that being said, I find it interesting that the cloud is sort of kind of ushered in a whole brand new sort of cert train, if you will. Yeah, because right, everybody on the show sort of knows, you've taken multiple certs over the years. You had your traditional ones, your Cisco's, your VMware's, your Microsoft's, that sort of thing. CompTIA, for the newbies or, for the change of career folk. But I feel like, Azure has really ushered in a new sort of wave of certs. AWS for sure. I know those AWS ones are hot as well. GCP has theirs. I don't know how.
There's free or something.
I think a couple of them may be free. But I think GCP is still. I guess they're considered one of the big three. But they're the smallest of the big three.
They don't count.
I think they're still kind of making their footprint. in there. Not gonna lie. I don't know what their sort of cert looks like, but I guess if you were in an environment that has GCP, then that cert obviously does you well. it's all relative, but I'm interested to actually, let me just pull this up. But I'm definitely interested in a couple of Azure certs, mainly for me, Azure 700, which is the designing and implementing Azure network solutions, since that's the road I live in, or I should say the house I live in. But there was a tree here, like an Azure like cert tree. Let me just pull this up quick.
Yeah,
but there's a bunch of them out there.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of them out there, and I was surprised that they had that many.
I think the cloud is huge now, you're like, even in our company, you're basically doing all the networking stuff. We're doing kind of like the infrastructure side of things, but specializing, like VMs and servers, stuff like that. But then there's on a whole other slew, you go for like the machine learning stuff and just like the heavy infrastructure stuff with like I think we have one of those projects coming down the pipeline, which is for like the high performance computing machines, which is a whole different kind of animal than normal VMs.
Yeah.
Crazy
stuff. So yeah, I'm interested to see kind of what like the AI stuff does, like developer, database administrator, security engineer, which is probably something that I should look into too after the network stuff. Like data engineer, AI engineers, Stack Hub, all that kind of like data scientists. I'm like, whoa, that's some crazy term right there. Like, I'm a scientist. What do you do? I science data. That's what I do. I feel like that is like they've ushered in a whole like new wave of certs and for things to, for people to chew on, which I think is good. I'm curious to see where this kind of goes the next couple of years and, what that kind of looks like, or if there's any new ones, right, the next couple of years, because this thing is always evolving, right? So, and I know there's a couple specialties, too, out there for Azure. I want to say, I think they have an IoT specialty, and they actually have a virtual desktop specialty. AZ-140, yeah. So I'm Cosmos DB, which is popular out there in Azure, that kind of thing. SAP workloads, that's a specialty. I'm just reading a couple of them off here, but like that's just some crazy stuff. Like there's some real heavy hitters on here, depending on what you kind of want to chew on. And there's some great stuff. So I'm looking at this from wizlabs.com, which has a really good Azure certification path. It looks like a blog, but it basically gives you the whole tree and then kind of dives into each cert, kind of what it is, any kind of like prereqs or anything like that. So if you're interested in that, we'll post the link here in our show notes for this show. So go check the show notes if you want to take a look at this. But this is where I came from, my AZ 700, to kind of wrap my head around what you know, what's involved in that. So we'll see. I'm hoping this year. Yeah. I'm hoping this year. I don't know, but I'm hoping. So a guy can dream. So we'll see.
where's the AZ 900 fall, Pat?
Oh, the AZ 900, man. That's right.
That's the tippity top, man.
That's it. I got mine last year. And Kyle, you just signed up for it, right?
I did. You were like, sign up for this and stop, you know, messing around. And I was like, that's fine. All right, I'm doing it.
Stop dragging your feet, you ogre. Yeah. Get to it.
Basically.
What's funny about that cert is that, like, you know, when I was first kind of looking, like, you know, the certification trees and stuff, it was the AZ 900 and the AZ 104. And the 900 somehow netted more money, even though there was overall less technical expertise required. And I was like, how the hell does that work?
No way.
And it's just because it's for like cloud sales, like all these other paths. It's kind of like your intro to cloud.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, those bastards make more money. Really. but I still went as a 104.
You digress, right? Yeah. No, I did the AZ 900 last year. And I don't know if I've said this before, but there's like a seminar that you can sign up for that Microsoft runs every couple of months. And it's basically a 2-day sort of seminar, you know, that you sign up for. And then you join the seminar both days. And at the end of both days, you get a voucher for the AZ 900 for free. So I did that. I don't know if this is cheating, but I basically signed up for it. I logged in, I put the class on mute or whatever and studied by myself and then just basically used the voucher for the free exam. So I didn't really pay attention to anything in the actual like seminar. I just used it for the free exam, which I'm sure a lot of people do. So
yeah, I was going to ask if there was anything useful there, but
I don't know. I never heard a word of it. So if you're looking for a free shot at the Azure fundamentals, you can just do a search for it. It's the AZ 900 seminar. You'll find it. Like I said, you got to attend both days because I know somebody that did the first day and didn't join the second day and they didn't get the voucher. So they actually do take attendance. So you got to show up both days to get the actual voucher and then schedule the test and don't cost you nothing and give it a whack. And I actually passed. Like you needed, I don't know what you need for, I don't know what the number is you need for an actual pass, but I literally got that exact. I think it is a 700, 7 or 705, something like that. I literally got a 700 even. So I like literally just passed that thing. Like,
dude, easy, right?
Yeah. It's one of those things like, all right, yeah, you go to med school. If you graduate, you're a doctor. They don't place you. They're like, you were a better doctor than that guy. No, they call you doctor at the end of it. Yeah. So
what do they call you? Azure Foundation Man? Or
yeah, that's right.
What's the title for this one?
AZ Foundation Man. That's me. But yeah, so I did that. That was nice. So yeah, I think this year is Azure 700. And I'm trying for that Cisco DevNet with Python and automation and stuff. I don't know if I'll get there this year.
That one's extra juicy.
But I've been saying that for the last two and a half years. So I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say easily.
It just keeps like getting extended out and out and out and further and further.
I feel like you need to work on it a bit like to get rough. Into it. And I don't think, yeah, that's not really in anything we're doing at work at the moment.
No, I think it's more on the operations side of things and automating boring tasks and that sort of thing. It's just not where I'm at the moment. So, yeah, I just don't see. And scripting has always been a tough thing for me to get my head around anyway. So, like, I don't know. My brain doesn't work in that aspect. Like, if you give me a Python script, I can read it. But if you give me a blank sheet of paper and say, I need you to write a Python script that does this, I'm like, you might as well try to teach me Japanese because it ain't going to happen. I find that, you got to have goals, but you know, we'll see where we land in, you know, in the mid to late this year. So we'll see. Colin, any questions that you kind of,
mulling over? Thinking about it, you know, cause, you know, you've been showing me some of the stuff that you're spinning up here and there. And I think for me, it's still like, no, I'm an old man at this point. Like back in my day, we had to connect cables and set like rates and speeds and like, you know, Now it's like, it's all fake. It's, you know, like you just kind of throw it out in the internet kind of deal. And it's like, eh, yeah, it works somewhere over there.
Doesn't seem real. That's right. Yeah, it's
like, what ports it plug into? And it's like, right. It doesn't. It's just out there. You just create a little link and, you know.
Off you go.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Yeah. So I guess, I don't know, Javi, like, do you have any thoughts on sort of, like, say if somebody is interested in, you know, dabbling in you know, in the cloud, do you have any kind of like good, like, I don't know, like reference pieces? Like, do you do one of those, like a Pluralsight or INE or CBT Nuggets? Like, do you invest it that way? Is there enough free content out there that you have enough to chew on for the cloud nowadays? I feel like there is. I just don't know.
There's definitely enough free. Like, if you just want to go somewhere free, and I love this guy, but it's John Saville's Technical Training on great YouTube. Guy.
Yeah,
dude is free, and he's just redoing his Azure stuff now. Like, nice. His Azure fundamentals. He's like redoing all of them and making them up to date or whatever. They're like, each piece is like, two or three hours long, super well explained, super like, so like that is a really good way to kind of get into it if you're looking to find something, you know, free. If not, it kind of depends on what you want to do. For like these, for the Azure 104, for example, I did a lot of Udemy, and just, you know, picked up a couple of courses. They're relatively cheap, and you can get them on sales for like $9, $10 or whatever. Studying those, and then obviously, you know, I think to be a good IT man, you just need to be good at Googling stuff. So just Google, add Reddit to anything you're searching if you're getting really desperate, you know, like just, you gotta, you know, sometimes you gotta figure it out and you gotta dig in every hole.
It's like the bowels of the internet. Like,
oh yeah. You just gotta dig deep, man.
Giving away all the IT secrets.
That's right. I know. That's right. Away. Just literally Google everything.
I'm going to edit that. I'm going to edit this part out. Now, another name I'll throw in the hat if you're looking for Azure stuff is Tim Warner. And I followed his course on Udemy as well. We at Customers Bank get a Udemy subscription. So when we actually do have time to learn something, that's usually where we hop to. And Tim Warner has been really good. His courses on Udemy have been really, really good. I think he's on Pluralsight too, I think. But yeah, Tim Warner is good as well. John Saville, like you mentioned, Javi, he's awesome as well. A couple of really good ones. James Lee out there as well. He's starting to spin up his Azure stuff as well. So if you're into Azure, I would take a flyer on all three of those fine gentlemen and see which one you like the best and kind of go from there. I guess
Javi, Pat, you might be able to speak to this too. So for anybody trying to get in, I mean, obviously besides like the videos, tutorials and stuff like that, is there a free tier or anything like that for Azure that you can actually spin any of this stuff up without it costing like an arm and a leg?
Yeah. So here's the thing. There's a very big caveat to this because I ran into this caveat multiple times, is that the first time you are doing it, you are able to sign up for a free trial. I believe it's for either 30 or 90 days. I'm not sure, but it's within, you know, that time span. And then you get a free $200 credit on top of that. However, after the first couple times, the Microsoft ninjas will find out your credit card, your IP, whatever, and it just will prevent you from signing up for free again, because I just kept spinning up free trials over and over to test it. So you can, if it's the first time you're doing it, for sure. Past that, you know, you will need to do some deep diving to kind of get past their ninjas, but they do offer a free trial.
Wait, you mean to tell me incognito mode is not going to do the trick?
Incognito mode does not come. Dude, I did incognito mode. I tried making that private credit card or whatever that you put a credit card to get a new credit card. Right. Tried that method, put a fake address. Basically, the only time I had to do it again, I had to use my girlfriend's name, address, and credit card. That was the only time it would let me do it. I had to be a new person.
Man, that got locked down.
Oh, dude, man. It's the worst. I thought I got it beat because I got like two or three ones, but then after that third, they were just like, nope.
Like, this hobby guy, he's some ninja. Like, he's some crazy shit right now. Like, that's funny. That's like the trick where like you have like DirecTV for like a million years and it's getting super expensive, and then you call and threaten to cancel. Right. And then they're like, oh my God, stay, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, nope, I'm out of here. And then like you cancel that account. And then you have your girlfriend call up and be like, hi, I'm a new customer. I live at blah, 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 blah. And they're like, here's this super free rate. You know, like, yeah, right. I love it. That's a good trick right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good trick. See, only OGs know that one. That's a good one.
Yeah. It's just the real move is just get a girlfriend and then recycle girlfriends every time you need them. That's right.
Right? Yeah, and then you can get like double the use out of it because then you could use her middle name as her first name. Her first name is the middle name. Like, mm-hmm. the possibilities are endless.
The world is your oyster.
Ah, that's right. See the things you learn here on this show. Amazing. I love it. Kyle, you should try that with your wife.
No. You'd be like, what happened to Kyle? We haven't heard from him.
He's buried in the backyard. Cass really hit him with a shovel. Oh, that's funny.
She was an AWS girl.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, I can't believe you bring this Azure garbage into my holy house. Get out of here. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so I don't know. Javi, do you have any thoughts on where the cloud game is going in the next couple of years? I know all the rage right now is that chat GPT or whatever. I would think AI, but I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I think it's gonna have to be some weird amalgamation with chat GPT / or, you know, open AI kind of stuff, just integrating with other things. I think I was reading that, like, Edge is looking to like or is looking to integrate its Bing with ChatGPT and some other stuff. This is all TikTok news, so you know, take it with a grain of salt. Yeah. But it's like they're making that. They're gonna sell it. They're gonna, you know, people of bigger companies are gonna use it and they're gonna integrate it with other stuff. So I think we're gonna go out in some really weird like AI hole. I don't know. Yeah. Like, basically the thing is, like, will AIs learn how to do Terraform and take and replace me? And the answer is probably yeah, but until then.
Yeah. We'll be out of the game by then.
Yeah.
So as a takeaway, learn AI. Drop everything right now and just learn AI.
Yes, 100%.
Prepare for Skynet.
That's right. That's right. That's some scary shit right there. Skynet was a couple of years ago, and they just started talking a language that nobody understood. They were like, let's unplug these bad boys right here.
I just keep seeing such weird videos on ChatGPT. My girlfriend actually uses it, and she's like asking it for like, hey, what do I make for breakfast? What do I make for dinner?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and it just gives her like, and you can just have a conversation with it. I'm like, oh, how about one without onions? And it's like, oh, how about this one? It's like the wildest shit, man.
That's awesome. I got a
conversational Google.
Yeah, I gotta take a flyer on that. I'm in there. I love it. Yeah, AI is gonna be big. I think big data is kind of getting it's large. Don't get me wrong, but big. I think it has a bigger role in the next couple of years as well. Obviously, like we said, AI. But I also don't think the positions that are here now, I don't think they're going anywhere. I think the network stuff is going to be there now, you know, albeit transformed a little bit to support, you know, both the on-prem and the cloud stuff. But again, the sysadmin stuff is going to be here, right? That sort of thing. So you know, security is always hot, right? We don't have to tell you that. That's always going to be white hot. So I just think there's a bunch of different paths that you can go and learning within either one of the, you know, quote unquote, the big three. I don't think you can go wrong in, you
but
know,
just
in,
but in not aspect. GCP though.
Yeah. No,
but
not right. GCP though. The big two. All right. You dragged it out of me.
but not that last one though.
Javi's like, I hate GCP. How dare you speak of that in this holy house? I don't know, Kyle, you got anything else? I'm trying to think of of anything else.
I mean, I get the takeaway is like just hate your job and then be a cloud expert.
That's right.
Yep. That is literally the moral of the story.
That's it. That's how we roll.
I mean, any other tips, tricks, things that helped you along the way, kind of to get where you're at?
I think the biggest thing is probably just like being curious, because like I've worked with people before that, you know, but when I worked at my two companies ago, I brought in a bunch of my friends from that point of sale place. And this was kind of like the entry level MSP job, but it was like, you know, dealing Microsoft stuff, servers, firewalls, whatever. The people that kind of went to the top were the people that were naturally interested in it. I'm not saying, hey, force, you know, you can force it if you want, but if you force something, usually you're not going to last very long.
Right.
But normally most of the people that I see that do really well, they just are into it, even if they weren't paid. Maybe not true, but you know what I mean? It's basically, right. They're just naturally curious, naturally people. If you like IT, you're going to be good at it. Just by virtue of liking it, you're going to search things up. It's your mind's going to hover in that space. So just if you like it and you're wondering whether you should take the jump, you should do it.
Awesome.
Yeah, look at that. The other thing here. Oh, I want to touch on the virtual desktop stuff a little bit because I've worked with a little bit of the virtual desktop.
Sure.
And for those that don't know what virtual desktop is, Javi, you want to kind of give me the 50,000 foot view of a virtual desktop?
Yeah, it's basically machines that you remote into to do work that is somewhere else. So, for example, let's say you're working from home and you want to get access to company resources. You would remote into this machine either through VPN, whatever, and then with Azure Virtual Desktop, you don't even need a VPN. You can just do the whole authorization through the Microsoft Cloud, and then it kind of just dumps you into a machine on-prem, and then from there you can kind of work using your company resources as needed.
Yep. Yeah, I think the big thing with the virtual desktop, and there's been a couple of flavors out there before. I know Citrix has a virtual desktop and a bunch of other players, but now these clouds are getting into it. I think AWS calls them workspaces. I think. Or maybe that'd be one of them calls
Azure.
Them,
Azure has workspaces.
Workspaces, too, so okay, mad. Yeah. So AWS is something different. I can't remember at the top of my head, but basically, the cool thing about the VDI is, and like Javi said, you could either VPN into it or some sort of authentication in on the back end of the VDI, the broker is what they call it. But the desktop that you get is the same every time that you log in. Like it almost feels like a fresh slate, if you will. Yep. Every time that you log in, you get a fresh slate because you're constantly pulling from different machines on the back end.
So the way that would work specifically is there's a host pool, which is basically a set of machines that you could potentially be logging into.
Yep.
You're going to have application pools assigned to the host pools and or user groups and all that stuff, but those are the applications you'll be able to view. Then it also interfaces with this thing called FS Logix. So these machines are all going to be using ephemeral disks, which is that every time you reboot, like you said, like the machine gets slated, basically gets loaded from a golden image each mm-hmm. time it's basically booted up. But with FS Logix, what it does is that's basically looks at a storage container on Azure and it stores your profile as a VHD or VHDX
right.
Virtual disk. And essentially each time you log into that machine, it'll actually look identical to your desktop each and every time, even though you could be on any one of those hosts
in the pool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
So you're always going to get the same experience regardless of which one you're on.
Correct.
Even if there's a new golden image, it's pretty well.
So it's very uniform in that aspect that you get the same experience.
Awesome.
Day in and day out sort of thing. And I think that serves a bunch of good purposes, right? So then so I think there's a couple different ways. And the way when I was at Rentokil, they were a complete Google shop. I know, Javi, you're kind of shaken when I say that. But we were a complete Google shop.
G Suite.
So G Suite.
I shook my fist also.
Virtually, right? Yeah. So G Suite, Drive, GCP, the whole deal. They were all in. And what they were doing is they had a VDI for some things, but it wasn't like – widely adopted, I would say. It was for very niche applications that people needed. And what they did is they basically, if you weren't an IT person, if you were just like if you were at a branch, you know, pest control place, and if you were an admin or, you know, office manager or something, you know, something of that nature, that everyone that wasn't in IT, they were moving towards giving them Chromebooks. And so basically they were just a lightweight Chromebook. This is all you need. Everything's web hosted anyway. Why need all these guts, you know, to on these local laptops if you're just pulling from, you know, if you're just pulling from a web hosted application, you know, anyway, sort of thing, a SaaS, you know, that sort of thing. So they had that idea. But then the other side of that is, you know, again, dumb terminals, quote unquote, at the user level. And then you're basically just, you know, remoting into these VDIs, and that's where all the heavy lifting is done, because you have all the resources in the back end at the VDI level. So I think that that's been going on a few years. I don't know if that is that really taken. It's taken off. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm just not that close to it. I feel like it kind of comes in like ebbs and flows, right? I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got pitched that at our current place. Did you? Okay. As like a potential alternative to AVD or whatever, but then when we were demoing it, it was like, wait, this isn't like, it was basically kind of like a dumb terminal replacing all this stuff. But in reality, what they were pitching was, and it was the Google, you know, offering, it was just a replacement to Active Directory. And then the minute we framed it like that, it got instantly murdered. But it's just because it's essentially like, you know, because then it's like, who's like, how are we going to manage users, all this other stuff? And it's just like, oh, G Suite. Oh, you need a, you know, it just became this whole ordeal, and then it just died on the branch. But it is like, it is an interesting concept if you were starting a company, like, you know, from scratch or whatever, just have a bunch of dump terminals. And then even, you don't even have to use, you can use kind of like the Google base in terms of like G Suite, whatever, for like managing users and all that. But then you can just connect to like an AVD or an AWS or whatever as well. It's just,
I think the other thing too, from an AVD perspective, I see another use for it is like if you have offshore contractors as well. Mm-hmm. So if you have a heavy project for whatever it is, and you're contracting with someone that's offshore of the US, that basically you give them instead of giving them an actual laptop and sending them, you know, quote unquote company property, you basically just give them a login to the VDI, and they're basically on your network, and that way it's fully controlled of what they can get to. They're, you know, coming in through the same pipe, and, you know, coming, or I should say, coming in through one pipe versus, you know, whether, you know, versus VPN or you know, any other sort of way to get onto the network, because there's multiple ways. But I think that's a good use for VDI as well. Since you have offshore contractors, that's a strictly controlled, you know, in and out path, if you will. So I think that's that's getting popular, or is popular now. I've seen that the last few places they do that as well. So yeah, VDI is interesting to me on how that works. And again, it's the same experience every time you log in. You know, your icons are exactly the same and whatnot, but you're all basically, it's basically cloud computing at that point. You're basically pulling from a large pool of resources on the back end, and nobody knows the difference.
And then there's like both the desktop view, which is kind of like your standard RDP, you know, you remote it and you get a desktop, or what's called kind of like the storefront or whatever, where you just get like the apps. And you just basically click on the app and it loads up an RDP session, but it like on your computer, but it looks like any other app, except it's just running on an RDP session. So it's pretty neat.
So it's just the app running virtually somewhere else?
Yeah, it's literally like it's opening up like, you know, like you know, you on Windows, you have remote
browser based
desktop. It's the same exact icon, like when you kind of go into right click it system or whatever, or right click it properties, but on the bottom it'll be like, let's say we've done this like at other companies like QuickBooks or whatever, you'll see the little queue on your desktop, you'll do all that stuff, but if you unplug your internet, it dies and disconnects, you know. So
Cool. They had that when I was at Rentokil. They had it was a Citrix storefront, so they had, you know, whatever the top 10 apps that people used, and you basically logged into Citrix. It was a storefront. You clicked the app, and the app loaded right from within that storefront. So you didn't run it locally. You ran it within the basically a VDI, you know, a VDI, really, is what it was. Just instead of a whole desktop, you just they just basically exposed apps that what they, you know, what they wanted you to have access to. So that, again, that would be an awesome solution for offshore, you know, offshore people, right? So, you know, they only need these apps, log into the VDI, and that's the apps they get. You know, that kind of thing. So that's a, you know, security people like that sort of thing, right? So so it's all good there. I don't know, the last thing I'm going to kind of wrap up with is I'm interested in this, and I don't know much about it, so I guess I'll kind of say this with a grain of salt, but the Azure, the content delivery network. And so from my understanding, it's basically your content is at various points around the globe in different data centers, and then wherever your customer is at, they're going to the closest data center to them. So it's latency is almost, you know, non-existent, things of that nature. Is that right? Am I on track with that?
Yep. It's basically it pings you to the closest server.
I gotcha. So basically, it's then you're. You know, so if you're in Germany, right, you don't have to come all the way to the U.S. Mm-hmm. and then all the way back. If you have a point of presence in Poland or wherever, then obviously they're going to go there first.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I almost feel like, yeah, I believe like large streaming companies like Netflix and Hulu, and I don't know, maybe if Alex is here, maybe Disney Plus. or, you know, PlayStation, and they have those type of networks up and running. So basically people that are streaming or playing Call of Duty or whatever are going to the closest pop to them.
Yep. That's why you want that good ping, you know, because it's going to whatever's closest.
Are you a Call of Duty guy, Javi?
No. I mean, I dabbled with it when I was younger, but playing some Final Fantasy 14 and then a bunch of like random indie games.
Nice.
I got to get my PlayStation plugged back in. See, I had it upstairs on the big screen, and then we needed room for the kids, and I haven't seen it since. So I got to find it.
Dude, I've been playing on the Steam Deck, and the Steam Deck is basically just lets me play more games than I did before. Because I have the same issue. Not with kids, but just, you know, girlfriend watching TV, space, whatever.
Yeah, right, whatever.
And this is basically just a computer that you can, you know, you can run emulators on it if you want to do that. You can just run, you know, a bunch of like Cutting Edge Game, Final Fantasy 14, all the indie games, just what it's awesome. I love it. It's Linux too, which is fun.
I'm in there. I love it. I gotta take a flyer on that. Yeah, I was such a console guy back in the day. And, you know, and then, of course, my brother, the week before Christmas, he goes, I got a PlayStation 5. I'm like, son of a, I'm like, I can't let him have anything better than I have. I got to go get a PlayStation 5. You know, it's like, oh, man, but I got bills and kids and whatever. So I'm like, probably not. But, I used to play so much console back in the day, Call of Duty 5 Call of Duty 5, Call of Duty and like Modern Warfare and World War II and all that kind of crazy stuff. And like, I really wasn't an online gamer. I like just do the story and get out, be done. But then like so my brother lived with us for a little bit a couple years back, and he was playing online, and I saw it was kind of, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. So I played and I got like hooked, like playing online, and like, but like, it was a double-edged sword. I was getting killed by like 12-year-olds. I'm like, this is insanity. I'm like, I can't handle this. This is going to make my blood pressure go through the roof. Man, I can't. And they're like, the worst part about it is these 12-year-olds are like trash talking to me. They're like, yeah, I got you, blah, blah, blah. And I could hear them in my headset. I'm like, oh, man, like, you know, that kind of thing. I'm like, I don't have the patience for this. Yeah, that kind of
thing. I have a funny story about that just because it's just hilarious. When when I was going to college, we were doing a Gears of War tournament, and we got to the finals, me and my roommates and stuff. And then when on the finals, we went against these four, and we were like, you know, like 19, 20, we went to these four, like 13-year-olds. I don't think they were like legally allowed to play the game. It's a bloody game. Oh. And this kid, you know, in a Chad Ochocinco jersey came up, we got destroyed. They were just like super nice about it, but we just got crushed. And ever since then, dude, 12-year-olds just crush it. And
they just they suck your soul, bro. I hear you. Oh, I hear you. Kyle, anything else on that note? we're going to wrap it up and get out of here right around that hour mark. So we like to keep it nice and tight and short. Kyle, anything else from you for Mr. Javi here?
No, that was great. That was super insightful. Just takes a little dedication, I guess. And, look, you're a bartender at one point. Now you're doing all this crazy cloud stuff. So that's awesome.
Yep. Bartender to technical architect.
Right. In like 2.5 weeks, right, Javi? So you're good. Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Javi, yes or no? You have any socials you want to plug, or are you a big social media guy?
I have an Instagram, Javi_R. I post pictures of me traveling.
Oh, cool. There you go. Look at that. That's it. Yeah, right.
That's on. Cool.
There you go. Yeah, cool. All right. So that's going to wrap it up, man. Javi, this has been awesome. Appreciate you joining, hanging out. Yeah, you're welcome back anytime. But thanks again for joining this week on Breaking Down the Bites. Of course, we are here every week, or we try to make it every week. That's our New Year's resolution for 2023. Try to make it every week. I know we've been kind of slacking and almost doing a bi-weekly for this past year, but we're trying to do it every week this year. So make sure you visit our website, breakingbitespod.io. You can subscribe to the show on your platform of choice, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. We're pretty much anywhere a podcast is played these days. Most of y'all are listening from iTunes. We know that because that's what our stats tell us. So if you would be so inclined to go and give us a rating on iTunes, leave a little review, that'd be awesome too. That fools with the algorithm and gets more eyeballs on us from an iTunes perspective. So we appreciate that. If you could take a few minutes, always welcome to any feedback. You like us, you hate us, doing something different, whatever. Totally let us know. We are open to any sort of feedback that that y'all give us. That would be great. Again, simply telling a friend would be great as well. Word of mouth works just as well these days in the high-tech connectivity world that we live in. All of our socials are on the show notes in the show here. So Twitter, Facebook, the Discord server we have, the invites in the show notes, LinkedIn, we're there. The feedback survey is still out there as well. Again, that's in the show notes as well. Just 9 or 10 questions, completely anonymous. We don't know who you are. It just aggregates answers from everybody, so it makes the show a little better. Again, Javi, thanks for joining us, man. Welcome back anytime, and we will see everyone else next week. Later.
So long.
See you.